Your headlines for this hour: Tehran rejects a statement by Japan and some Arab states regarding Iran's sovereignty over three islands in the Persian Gulf. A new report says Israel has seen a 60% fall in foreign investment in early 2023 due to serious political and social turmoil facing the regime. And the United States announces a $600 million aid package for Ukraine just a day after it said Kiev will be supplied with depleted uranium ammunition. Thank you for joining us. In today's top story, Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani has rejected the joint statement by Japan and some Arab countries regarding Iran's sovereignty over three islands in the Persian Gulf. He was referring to a statement issued at the end of the third session of the ministerial meeting of the Arab-Japan political dialogue in Cairo, Egypt. The statement calls for talks between Iran and the UAE on the sovereignty over the three Persian Gulf islands of Abu Musa and the Greater and Lesser Tombs. Kanani said that part of the statement lacks any political or legal value. He rejected it as a violation of the principle of non-interference in domestic affairs of countries and respecting their territorial integrity. Tehran has repeatedly rejected the UAE's claims over the islands, saying they have historically been an inseparable part of Iran and will remain so. In the Iraqi city of Karbala, Arba'in mourning ceremony, the largest annual religious gathering in the world, is now over, and millions of pilgrims are on their way back to their home countries. Iran has helped Iraq in hosting the ceremony, and it continues to do so. Our correspondent Gisumi Shahmadi has more.
Millions of pilgrims on their way back home after attending Arba'in mourning ceremonies in the Iraqi city of Karbala. The Iraqi government has taken various measures to facilitate their return. And neighboring Iran is also lending a hand, offering special services, not just to Iranian citizens, but to pilgrims from other countries as well. Many of the Iranian mukebs, or tents that were set up to serve the pilgrims across the Arab country, are still there. And Iran's Karbala Consulate Special Arba'in Section, tasked with helping the pilgrims, will remain operational for another week.
Here at the operation room, we not only give information to the pilgrims, but we also provide them with assistance in case they encounter any problems. There are several committees that follow up on issues that the pilgrims face and contact us for. We are here to offer a helping hand, not just to fellow Iranians, but to pilgrims coming from other countries as well.
For any cross-border traveler, travel insurance is a must, and the Islamic Republic has come up with an innovative solution to help out all pilgrims.
Considering the fact that the Arba'in Walk is a major international event, we have tried to create an infrastructure to offer travel insurance to non-Iranians as well. And with the database that we have, we will be able to provide even more cost-effective insurance plans for pilgrims next year.
Meanwhile, field hospitals and mobile medical units set up by the Iranian Red Crescent Society remain active until all pilgrims leave, to take care of casualties on site and, if necessary, safely transport them to hospitals.
I had a fever and I wasn't feeling well. An ambulance quickly picked me up and brought me to this medical facility. Everything was free of charge.
My friend wasn't feeling well since yesterday, so as soon as we arrived in Karbala, I brought him here. It was quite easy to find this medical center. It was nearby.
Arba'in is by far the biggest annual religious gathering in the world. This year, over 22 million people took part.
Over 4 million Iranians crossed the Iran-Iraq border to come to the city of Karbala this year and take part in the Arba'in ceremonies. Gisum Shahmadi, Karbala.
In Indian-controlled Kashmir, tens of thousands of Shia Muslims have been participating in the Arba'in mourning ceremonies. Our correspondent Shahana Butt reports.
Men and women, young and old, mourners have gathered across Muslim-majority Kashmir to observe the annual Arba'in ceremonies. They are beating their chests while tears roll down their faces. Religious scholars recite the tragic events that unfolded on the battlefield of Karbala. Arba'in marks the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, the Prophet Muhammad's grandson.
Arba'in may mark the end of the mourning period, but commemorating it each year strengthens our will to promote the teachings of Imam Hussein.
Imam Hussein's sacrifice made a significant impact on Muslims around the world and also left its mark on world peace and justice. History is witness to this greatest sacrifice of mankind.
Imam Hussein set a benchmark by sacrificing his life for truth. It has become the responsibility of all Muslims to follow his teachings of truth and justice and take a stand against oppression and oppressors.
People gathered at different religious centers across Kashmir to commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Hussein and his companions. They also denounced the desecration of Holy Quran in Western countries.
The Quran is our holy book, and Imam Hussein gave his life to uphold the principles of the Quran. We denounce all those who disrespect Islam, the religion of peace, and the Quran, and we will make sure to take the peace mission forward.
Shia Muslims in Kashmir are just a section of the millions across the world who pay tribute to Imam Hussein and his sacrifices.
Each year commemorating Arba'in marks an end to the mourning period. However, the teachings of Imam Hussein continue to inspire humanity centuries after the Battle of Karbala some 13 centuries ago. The message also remains the same: truth, justice and steadfastness. Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Foreign direct investment in Israel has decreased by 60% in the first quarter of 2023 compared with the quarterly average of recent years. This according to a new report released by the regime's finance ministry. The report said the number of Israel's investment deals and investors also decreased by one-third during the same period. The ministry attributed the drops to, quote, global and local uncertainties. However, analysts have blamed the regime's financial downturn on this year's unprecedented political and social turmoil caused by the far-right cabinet's so-called judicial overhaul plan. The plan, which is spearheaded by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, has shaken the occupying entity in its core or to its core and generated unprecedented rifts within its political, military and social ranks. It has also been met with thousands strong weekly protests for the past 7 months. An increasing number of army reservists have also been threatening to stop reporting for duty in a show of their opposition to the overhaul plan. Tel Aviv continues to ban exports from the Gaza Strip for the third consecutive day, further exacerbating the dire economic situation for more than 2 million Gazans. The Palestinian territory has been under an Israeli blockade since 2007. Ashraf Shannon has more details in the following report.
There is no end in sight to the suffering of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip amid Tel Aviv's inhumane practices. The Israeli regime has placed a ban on the export of goods from Gaza to the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds since Tuesday, further exacerbating the dire economic situation in the impoverished territory. The Kerem Shalom commercial crossing, located on the southernmost tip of the Gaza Strip, has been partially operating since Israel imposed a tight blockade on Gaza in 2007. Israeli security forces claim to have thwarted an attempt to smuggle explosive materials through the crossing on Monday. Observers say the Israeli claim is possibly an excuse for future military aggression against the Gaza Strip.
The impact of the restrictions and the siege is very harsh and very hard against Palestinian people. I think this comes in order to continue this collective punishment against Palestinians who's living in Gaza and to give Israeli government a justification for any military action.
The Israeli decision to ban exports from Gaza has inflicted heavy losses on the private sector and its various segments. It has deprived businessmen and manufacturers of the ability to market their products, disrupting production and employment.
Stopping exports from the Kerem Shalom crossing has had a grave impact on many factories in Gaza, including my factory. Currently, I'm working with only one-third of my employees because I can't afford to pay salaries. If this catastrophic situation continues, I will lose my business and all my employees will be out of work.
In addition to the ban on exports, the Israeli regime limits the quantity of the goods allowed into the impoverished territory and bans the entry of most raw materials for factories. the Palestinian NGOs network, which represents over 140 Palestinian civil society organizations, says Tel Aviv's move to ban exports will further complicate living conditions in Gaza.
The Israeli decision to deny the export from Gaza, it will deepen the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. This will increase the percentage of unemployment, and in the same time, we will witness more deterioration in the socio-economic situation in Gaza.
According to officials in Gaza, businesses are losing $500,000 daily because of the export ban.
Experts say the Israeli blockade imposed on the Gaza Strip since 2007 has wreaked havoc on the economy of Gaza and has had grave humanitarian consequences. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
The United States has announced a new $600 million security assistance package for Ukraine. The package includes demolition munitions, mine clearing equipment, and artillery ammunition. The Pentagon said it will meet Ukraine's battlefield needs and is a sign of Washington's unwavering support for Kiev. The package came a day after the U.S. pledged over $1 billion in military and humanitarian aid for Ukraine. It included highly controversial depleted uranium rounds, despite global concerns about their serious health problems. Russia has slammed the move as a clear sign of inhumanity. The country's deputy foreign minister, Sergei Ryabkov, also described it as a criminal act. Sudan's Army Chief General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan has met with Emir of Qatar Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad al-Thani during a visit to the Persian Gulf state. According to Qatari media, Burhan discussed the latest developments in the situation and challenges facing Sudan with Sheikh Tamim. The Emir of Qatar reiterated his call for broad peace negotiations between all Sudanese political forces and a lasting end to the fighting. This was Burhan's third trip abroad since August 29th, following his recent visits to Egypt and South Sudan. It came a day after he issued a constitutional decree ordering the dissolution of the paramilitary rapid support forces. The warring factions have been locked in a battle since mid-April, which has so far killed at least 5,000 people. The Democratic People's Republic of Korea says it has launched its first tactical nuclear attack submarine. According to the country's state media, the submarine has been assigned to the fleet patrolling the waters between the Korean Peninsula and Japan. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un attended the ceremony. Kim said, "Arming the Navy with nuclear weapons is an urgent task that cannot be delayed in view of the enemy's aggressive moves." The new development came amid joint military drills by the United States and South Korea. Pyongyang sees such exercises as rehearsals for invasion of its territory. Last week, the North staged a simulated tactical nuclear attack drill using mock atomic warheads attached to two long-range cruise missiles. Eastern European countries are raising the alarm over Ukraine potentially being pushed into peace talks with Russia. Ukraine's most hawkish supporters in Eastern Europe are concerned that presidential battles in Washington and creeping negativity within the U.S. public towards ongoing support for Kiev will further drive Ukrainians to negotiate with Russia.
As the war in Ukraine lingers on, there are concerns among some Eastern European countries over possible peace talks between Russia and Ukraine. Eastern European countries are raising alarm over Ukraine potentially being pushed into peace talks with Russia. This amid hesitation and delays in weapon supplies to Kiev and waning public support. The countries bordering Russia and Belarus argue that international partners need to lay out a path for a decisive victory for Kiev. Some Republican presidential candidates, including frontrunner and former President Donald Trump, have called for the U.S. to directly negotiate with Vladimir Putin and relegate the war to a territorial dispute. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has insisted that any deal must pressure Russia into a full retreat of Ukrainian territory and security guarantees. The concern comes amid calls in Europe to make some sort of a security agreement with Russia. French Foreign Minister Catherine Colonna has said Western leaders will need to build a security architecture that respects Russia's interests when the conflict in Ukraine ends. reality, history and geography mean that this country is largely on the European continent. We will have to find a way to rebuild a solid security architecture that takes into account the stability interests of all. Colonna's statement does not mark a radical departure from French policy since the start of the conflict. French President Emmanuel Macron has held since last year that Europe should discuss, quote, how to give guarantees to Russia the day it returns to the negotiating table. However, both Macron and Colonna continue to endorse Ukraine eventually joining the NATO bloc, which Moscow would consider an unacceptable security threat.
Ukraine's defense minister Oleksiy Reznikov has been dismissed from his post. His resignation follows a string of corruption allegations in the ministry. The resignation comes amid Ukraine's counteroffensive. However, Russia says the Ukrainians have failed to achieve their stated objectives.
Meanwhile, Ukrainian lawmakers have overwhelmingly voted to relieve Oleksiy Reznikov of his duties as defense minister. He has earlier tendered his resignation after President Volodymyr Zelensky announced plans to replace the official. Reznikov had held the post since November 2021. During his tenure, the defense ministry was embroiled in several corruption scandals. Senior officials were accused of procuring food for soldiers at inflated prices and paying dubious firms for supplies. One recent scandal involved a regional conscription chief who was charged with obtaining millions of dollars in illicit funds. President Zelensky has appointed 41-year-old Crimean Tatar Rustem Umerov, who most recently led Ukraine's state property fund, to replace Reznikov. Experts have observed that the cabinet reshuffle is unlikely to lead to any major change in Ukraine's battlefield strategy. The dismissal comes amid Ukraine's ongoing counteroffensive against Russia. Ukrainian military officials claim their troops have made progress in the front line near the Zaporizhia region. Russian military officials have not commented on the claim, but they say Ukraine has lost a considerable number of troops and military hardware in the counteroffensive. Russian officials say Kiev's forces have lost more than 66,000 troops and over 7,600 heavy weapons since launching their push in early June. Defense Minister Shoigu says despite the colossal cost in manpower and equipment, the Ukrainian government continues its operation because it desperately needs to show some kind of success to its Western sponsors. Ukrainian officials have acknowledged that their counteroffensive was proceeding poorer than had been hoped and is being waged at a serious cost to the army.
With that, we come to the end of this bulletin. Thank you for listening. Take care and bye-bye for now.
The bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure.
Hello.
IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
European household bills have soared since Western countries largely abandoned Russian oil, natural gas, and coal supplies. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to RT, energy prices across the EU have been surging, raising the prospect of higher household bills as the bloc prepares for another winter with drastically reduced Russian natural gas supplies. The cost of electricity in Italy jumped nearly 30% in the week from August 21st to August 27th, reaching 138 euros per megawatt hour. According to estimates by research group Nomisma Energia, starting from October 1st, Italian families could face a 7% to 10% hike in their electricity bills. It cited rising gas prices as the major cause, as Italy is one of the most natural gas-dependent countries in the EU. The president of Nomisma Energia, David Tabarelli, warned recently that if prices remain at these levels, it is inevitable that they will be reflected in an increase in future electricity bills. According to Tabarelli, as quoted by Italy 24 Press News, projections for next winter indicate international prices are 40% higher than current ones, and if they materialize, gas tariffs for the winter could be 20% higher than current levels. Elsewhere in the EU, energy costs have also continued to climb, with the average wholesale electricity price in Estonia rocketing by 93% to 153.39 euros per megawatt hour in the last week. Prices in both Latvia and Lithuania soared 23% to 142.58 euros per megawatt hour. Electricity prices in the EU surged last year following the bloc's decision to heavily restrict Russian oil and gas and fully ban coal supplies as part of its sanctions policy. France, which was once a net power exporter to the EU, had to rely heavily on electricity imports from neighboring countries last winter. Many of its nuclear power plants, which accounted for 70% of the country's electricity output, have been offline for maintenance. According to Bloomberg, France has extended permission for power-generating companies to burn more coal in the coming month in order to prevent shortages this winter. The move comes as the output of utility major Électricité de France, EDF, which provides over half of France's electricity, will reportedly remain below historical levels this winter due to problems with its fleet of nuclear reactors affected by stress corrosion, the outlet said. Tension on the power system is currently lower than at the same period of last year, the French Ecological Transition Ministry said, referring to the prospects of wind and solar output and a drop in energy consumption. However, one must take all measures to ensure security of energy supply for the French in any event, it added, noting the possibility that the conflict in Ukraine may not be over by winter or that the winter itself will be very tough. At the same time, the French government has tightened requirements for the operation of the country's two remaining coal-fired power plants. Electricity producers will only be allowed to operate for up to 1,800 hours in the coming winter, or about 11 weeks, down from 2,500 hours last winter, according to the French ministry. Under a government decree, coal-powered plants will have to pay more per ton of carbon dioxide released. Power prices in the EU soared last year following the bloc's decision to abandon Russian energy as part of its sanctions policy. France, which was once a power exporter to the EU, had to rely heavily on electricity imports from neighboring countries last winter. Many of its nuclear power plants, which accounted for 70% of the country's electricity output, have been offline for maintenance. Also, according to the news outlet Bild, Germany has had to ramp up electricity imports in the first 6 months of the year after the government decided to shut down the country's last remaining nuclear power plants in favor of renewable energy sources. From January 1st to June 12th, the EU's largest economy relied on power supplies from neighboring countries, the outlet said, citing the cabinet's response to a parliamentary inquiry. Germany can no longer meet its demand with domestically generated power, the report stated, due to a green energy policy disaster that saw nuclear plants closed in favor of renewables. Berlin now relies on imports of electricity produced at French atomic facilities and on supplies generated at local plants in the Czech Republic. Energy expert Andre Tess told TASS news agency, according to publicly available data, Germany has turned from an exporter of electricity into an importer. This is most likely due to the abandonment of nuclear power plants. Germany industry executives earlier sounded the alarm over looming electricity shortages that could endanger the competitiveness of Germany as an industrial hub. The head of energy firm RWE, Markus Kreber, warned last month, "As an industrial location, Germany has a serious problem. We don't have as much energy available as we need. This gap leads to high prices and thus to justified concerns about competitiveness," he said, adding, "We are seeing the first signs of deindustrialization." According to RT, Germany pledged to abandon nuclear power after Japan's 2011 Fukushima catastrophe. In April, Berlin shut down its last three nuclear power stations, ending a six-decade nuclear program in favor of fully renewable electricity generation by 2035. The initial plan was to use more Russian gas during the transition period via the Nord Stream pipelines, which were built to deliver cheap fuel from Russia. Prior to the conflict in Eastern Europe, Germany met up to 40% of its demand with gas from the sanctioned country. However, the sabotage of the natural gas pipelines and Western penalties imposed on Moscow prompted Berlin to search for alternative supplies. Last year, Berlin replaced some of its Russian gas with imports of LNG from the West Asia region and the U.S. But economists have warned that it would take years for Germany to fully substitute Russian supplies with other sources of energy.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners, sisters, mothers, ladies from all around the world. Welcome back to a new episode of your own program, Muslim Lady. So this is IRIB English Radio, and once more, Asma is having the pleasure to be your host. And here with me, we have Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome to the studio.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm fine. How are you?
Thank you very much. Just like always, it's a pleasure for me to be here with you and with the Muslim ladies out there. So as we talked about coldness and the distance that might get in the way of a relationship, we're talking about married life, we went through some factors and how to improve them. We went through mercy, and also we went through the fact that you should be so forgetful toward the flaws and the bad aspects of your partner, and also be very much patient. Now, I'm sure there are plenty much more of these ways to improve this coldness and distance and to overcome them, and I would like you to please help us with them.
Yes, many relationships do lose that spark over time, as we talked about the factors in the previous episodes, and it's always not a sign or indicating something that it's a failure of a relationship or there are things broken the way.
I guess it's just the process of getting used to something.
Right, there's no exactly, you know. Yes, that's one of the things you're used to. Change is very necessary. Sometimes, like, you know, having the same kind of food, looking at the same kind of person, wearing the same kind of clothes, all this has effect, you know, impact.
Well, as a married woman, if I ask you, is it bad to get used to your married life? What would be your answer?
In yes or no, I would say that as a married woman, I have also experienced that coldness. And then sometimes just, you know, changing a table in the home makes a big difference.
Of course, yeah.
You know, you never know the surroundings you have in your home. If they are, you get used to looking at the room in the same way. You know, Imam Sadiq al-Islam says, if you remove one thing in your home just in order to decorate your room the other way, it's considered as ibadat. See how beautiful our religion is.
Exactly.
So you as a woman always keep on doing those things, and you never know how much effect it could have on
so
your relationship.
Changes are always necessary.
Right. It could be on your surroundings. It could be in your relationship. Like sometimes you express your feelings one way, then you try other ways. You know, go and educate yourself. Equip yourself with knowledge.
Be creative.
Right. Like, be creative. Give surprises. Give gifts. Sometimes very small. Not, you know, when we say give gifts, it should not always come to our mind that expensive things.
Exactly, yeah.
Sometimes very simple things. You know, I loved this thing in Arbaeen, and I learned so much from it. When I was walking, I always had this, before going to this trip physically, I always had this thing in my mind. Those people who serve food in the Arbaeen are really rich people, or they spend a lot of money. They spend too much of money. But then in my walk, I experienced so many girls, young girls, small girls, like of 4 years old, as young as, you know, 6 years
exactly.
old. And you know what they were holding in their hands? Tissue papers.
Yeah.
That was all they could serve mm-hmm. to the pilgrim of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And that was so beautiful. This very small thing.
So you
thing,
can make a change even with tissues.
Even with small tissue, like you have only tissue to offer. It's okay, but do offer.
Exactly. Yeah.
That in itself,
it's actually the manifestation of your love.
Your love, your sincerity.
Yeah.
It was so good. Like, you know, this completely takes you out of that materialism.
Exactly.
I saw the girls distributing water in a very beautiful way on a tray,
So for showing your love, you do not necessarily have to go for difficult things or expensive things.
Right.
Just by a simple thing, the whole idea is to show your love.
I would say in the same trip, I had a kid along with me. I had a small baby, so I had to, you know, look after, you know, I had to go to, sometimes I had to, you know, detract from the main track to just, you know, make sure my baby is fine and all. And then I realized these small girls are with their bare feet, they're going beyond the tents. They're going in these deserts or over the stones just to get pure water for the pilgrims. So, you know, that was so much sincerity, so much love.
Just right at this very beautiful moment, let's go for a short break and then we'll be back in no time. So, dear Muslim ladies, stay tuned.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Yeah, to show your love, you do not have to cross mountains or oceans or seas or things like that, all the fanciful stuff. It's just to show a bit of care. That is going to be called love. And I guess everybody could understand that. Even a dimwit could understand the manifestations of love. So in order to show your love to your partner, to the person you love so much as your spouse, you do not have to go for too many things. Just show them that you still care for them and you still feel like they are important to you and you will devote time for them. Yeah, you still are listening to Muslim Lady. I am Asma and Sister Zainab is with us. Okay, sister.
Yeah, so we're talking about things now. What could improve this coldness in a relationship?
Yeah, and I guess the last factor you mentioned was to show your love with gifting or any other thing and do not care about the materialistic aspect of it.
It's really not necessary. It should be materialistic. What happens when this coldness comes in is that sense of ego exists. You know, sometimes because of your ego, you do not accept your mistakes. What is very important is to take full responsibility if you are at fault.
Exactly.
You know, avoid becoming defensive or sidestepping or, you know, kind of trying to show your ego again. Or like sometimes, you know, we have these people who say, I won't say sorry. I never said sorry to anyone in my life.
That's the most stupid things anyone could ever say.
That's the most hard statement.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, that's the most hard statement when you are trying to tell someone, okay, you're at fault, say sorry.
And the contrary, you know, I guess it would add to your character and personality. It would add to your character and your personality and it would show how brave you are.
Because exactly.
I guess it's a brave act to come and say, this was my problem and I'm sorry for that.
So again, as we said in the previous episodes, what are the causes? Now let's work on those causes again. Communication. You know, if there's lack of communication, come on, start open and honest communication, which is very, very essential in any kind of relationship. Like a wife can respectfully express her concerns, her needs to her husband. And Islam emphasizes the importance of mutual respect. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you are communicating, but respect is not there. While as Islam really emphasizes on that, it tells us like to be respectful.
I guess the key point is not to try to be dominant.
Exactly.
In the discussion, try to feel like you're negotiating.
Right.
You're not the one who's ruling the other person.
It's really important to understand that, okay, you are not a problem. I'm not a problem. But there's something external within us that's a problem. Now you and I should team up together to solve this problem. I should not fight against you. You should not fight against me. But you and me, we should team up together to fight that problem together. That's very important. Yeah. Rather than fighting with each other, we should team up.
Exactly. The idea of we are a team. We're in the same side. Do not take me as your opponent. We're not enemies.
Right.
If we're talking, it's just because we want to understand each other more and more. It's not because I'm your enemy or I want you to change entirely. It's just because we have to understand each other more and more. I say, let's go for a short break and then we'll be back. So don't go anywhere.
Thank you.
Well, this is the last part of today's episode. We're talking about how to improve the coldness. And yeah, we went through too much. We said that if there is lack of communication, you can go for a negotiation, talk more and more with each other, try to understand each other, and keep in mind not to be so domineering, not to be acting like a way for the other person to feel, okay, she's trying to rule me. Try to show your love in any language you'd like to show it. If it's just buying a simple flower, if it's just, I don't know, cooking something delicious, the favorite thing that the other person loves, or anything, anything. All I mean to say, the manifestation of your love does not have to be so expensive and so difficult.
You should recognize each other's roles, strengths, and then contributions to the family. What could help you with your expectations? And then we have patience and forgiveness.
Yeah, which we already Islam talked advises, about it, and it's very important.
Right. Islam advises everyone to be patient, to be forgiving in difficult times, which is, I know, not a very easy thing. But if you want, you know, sometimes you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all right, Allah, it's very difficult for me to forgive this person or forgive my partner for this particular mistake. But in return, I want you to forgive me for this particular sin.
Yeah.
You know, make a communication with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both things will get...
Make a deal.
Resolved. Yeah. A mu'min is wise. A believer is wise. That's what Islam teaches us. So you have to make wise deals with
exactly.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A woman can actually cultivate these qualities by avoiding unnecessary arguments, which is a basic reason.
Exactly.
Again, sometimes, like, you know, try to be understanding.
Because again, in those unnecessary discussions, argues or disputes that might happen, you might say things that do not mean them, but actually they would create some scars in the heart of the person in front of you.
Before you want to speak a word, there are 32 guards. You want to utter something, because if this goes out, it won't be able to get it back
exactly.
into your mouth.
You didn't mean it, but then it has made all the problem that it must not happen.
Seriously, like, see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very wisely, with his wisdom, has even, like, you know, dealt with the anatomy. So if we really realize that and we understand that, we would get to know, all right, I should be forgiving, not making unnecessary discussions,
yeah.
or like forgiving over, like, you know, arguing over unnecessary things. That's really important. So, you know, a wife can display patience, kindness,
you know,
and
I have
good
learned
character.
One thing from my mother. Actually, I've learned many things, but in communication with other people, she usually tells me that you have to forgive things and forget them. Because if you do not do that, then you cannot live with human beings.
We have this very beautiful quote. We say that God gives, gives, and forgives. Man gets, gets, and forgets. A man gets, and forgets. We should not be in a family like that. A man is out, your husband is out, and he's dealing with the hot summer day, and he's working, he's making, and you yourself are making, you know, difficult chores at home. And then when he comes back, you're like, you get from him, and then you forget. You should realize what, you know, you should explain to him, I'm really thankful to Allah that you are making hard.
Yeah, and it's a mutual road, you know?
Right.
It's not just the duties of women that we're talking about.
Right. So, and there's also this understanding and empathy, like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, none of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself.
Exactly.
So if you are expecting something for yourself also...
Practice it.
Exactly. You know, you should be thinking, maybe my partner needs that back. It should not be always like, I only want to take and take, sometimes give.
Exactly.
That's really necessary.
This was all the time that we had for today's episode. Thank you, sister. We learned many things, actually, on how to improve our behavior in a way that our relationships could get mended after coldness or after the distance that got in the middle. So I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting. For something, something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life. is free.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
In the limelight.
There has been growing concerns among British charities and campaigners that with the cost of living crisis continuing to rage, increasing numbers of British people are turning to often expensive forms of credit to cover everyday spending and expenses such as food, housing and fuel. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. New data showed personal loan rates have doubled in little more than 18 months, spelling far higher costs for financially squeezed households hoping to borrow money. In early December 2021, just before official interest rates began their seemingly relentless march upwards, someone with a good credit rating who was looking for a new £5,000 personal loan to be paid back over 36 months would have potentially been able to access Best Buy rates starting at 3.3% from companies such as Sainsbury's Bank and the AA. Fast forward to this week and Best Buy rates for the amount and loan term started at 6.6% from Sainsbury's Bank. However, in many cases, the top rates have more than doubled. Several loan providers have been offering rates below 3.5% in December of 2021 are now offering rates at 7.2% and even higher. Also, the rate someone is offered will depend on their personal circumstances, so many people will be asked to pay a rate that is considerably higher than these Best Buy rates. However, even based on a previous and new Best Buy rate of 3.3% and 6.6% respectively, that means new customers who can now access these rates are having to shell out an extra £267 in interest rates over 36 months for the same debt. The numbers were compiled for Guardian Money by Andrew Hager at the personal finance website Moneycombs. Andrew Hager says, people hoping to borrow money via a personal loan or credit card are facing far higher costs since this cycle of 13 consecutive interest rate rises kicked off back in December of 2021. He adds, rates for Best Buy loans have doubled, so changing the car or home improvement borrowing is now far more costly and at a time where consumer budgets are already stretched to bursting point. In Britain, there has been growing concern among charities and campaigners that with the cost of living crisis continuing to range, increasing numbers of British people are turning to often expensive forms of credit to cover their everyday spending and expenses, such as food, housing and fuel. According to new figures from the Money Charity, the average credit card debt a British household stood at £2,350 in May of this year. That was up from £2,197 a year earlier and £1,938 in May of 2021. The most recent data from the Bank of England revealed that the average interest rate on the credit cards hit a record high of 20.44% in May. Some loan providers have been pushing through fairly chunky rate rises lately. Some John Lewis partnership cardholders have just been told that their purchase rate will rise from 20.72% to 24.49% from 30th of September this year. Credit card rates are variable, although in many cases they are not explicitly linked to the base rate. However, the MoneyComms data shows that the rate has definitely been creeping up. In December of 2021, several of the leading players, including Barclaycard and HSBC, had interest rates for purchases of 21.9% for new customers. Andrew Hager says, in recent days, these stood at 24.9% and 23.9% respectively. He adds that the credit card rate examples above apply to new customers, but that unfortunately the reality will have been even worse for some existing cardholders whose rates are linked to the base rate. Andrew Hager says, it's a case of roles reversed, with savers now enjoying decent returns for once, while borrowers have seen cheap money deals simply disappear. The most recent Bank of England data also stated that the average rate on new personal loans to individuals stood at 8.27% in May. Meanwhile, a typical overdraft rate is now just a little over 21%. The British newspaper The Daily Mirror has also covered the same story and tells us more. Almost 8 million British people are thought to be teetering on the edge of a financial cliff. Consumer group Which? Warned of a debt time bomb after household bills rocketed. The families it classes as drained and desperate earn less than £20,000 and cut back to skipping meals. But Which? Also has concerns about the anxious and at-risk group, which accounts for 7.9 million adults. These tend to be from large families, have children and have managed to stay afloat by using credit. Which says they are much more likely now to have borrowed money to maintain basic living standards rather than limit food and energy. But with interest rates still rising, they may soon start struggling. Almost 40% of this group has a mortgage or loan on their home. A fifth of those with a mortgage are on a variable tracker mortgage, meaning their rates are hiked every time the Bank of England base rate rises. One woman from Northern England said, I have to use credit to make ends meet and I do worry about debt. I have no safety net for emergencies and I will have to work past state pension age. Rocío Concha, Director of Policy and Advocacy at Which, said, until now, the British government and policymakers claimed they have focused on supporting the millions already failing to make ends meet. But this ancient and at-risk group is a ticking time bomb. Rocío Concha added, they are far more likely to have relied on borrowing, but with the interest rates continuing to rise, it's only a matter of time before they find themselves facing serious hardship. The government must help those most in need by tightening regulation on buy now, pay later loans and ensuring businesses are doing everything they can to ease pressure on household finances. The website of This Is Money has also reported on the same story. Britain's mortgage lenders saw an increase in the number of customers defaulting on their loans in the 3 months to the end of June and expect more borrowers to miss payments in the coming months. Lenders' responses to the Bank of England's credit conditions survey revealed a 30% increase in mortgage defaults in the second quarter of this year. This was an increase compared with the 3 months to March, when the proportion of missed payments increased by 14%. Lenders expect defaults to increase again in the third quarter as rising interest rates and inflation continue to batter British households and its finances. Stephen Perkins, managing director at broker Yellow Brick Mortgages, said, "They're already rising, but lenders are expecting losses and default rates on secured loans to increase even further in the next quarter, which is unsurprising given the heights that interest rates are now reaching." Stephen Perkins added, "Demand for credit is also expected to fall in the third quarter, which again is what you would expect in such a brutal economic climate." He added, "Repeated increases to the Bank of England's base rate have done nothing to curb inflation and are massively impacting the economy and pushing millions of British families' finances beyond the brink."
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.